Welcome to episode 33 of the Tuesday Talk IU Athletics Podcast. Joined by Director of Athletic Communications Larry Dielman and Student Assistant Connor Kukowski, this is Sports Information Director Andy Alvarez bringing you results and news in this past week's action in Immaculata Athletics. Well, we've reached the final episode of season one of Tuesday Talk, with the baseball season coming to an end on Friday. So has our 2025-2026 athletics year. Let's get started looking back at last week's results.
Let's go to baseball. Baseball concluded their season in the Atlantic East Conference tournament, taking on Marymount before bowing out to Centenary. Marymount, the game was a 5-2 final in favor of the Saints. Matt Passerini and Josh Goulburn each had a run. Passerini added three hits. An RBI went to Hunter Weitzel and JT Luther. Alex LePage started on the mound 8 innings and had 3 strikeouts. Immaculata scored both runs in the 8th inning, but the comeback came up short. Against Centenary on Friday, the Mighty Max faced Centenary in the second game because Centenary also lost on Thursday, but they lost to Marywood to start the tournament. And it was a double elimination tournament, as we mentioned in last week's show. After the first games, you had the two winners and the two losers of those first games, so Immaculata drew Centenary. 16-8 was the final in favor of the Cyclones. Danny Nacido had a good end to his freshman campaign. 3 runs, 3 hits, and 2 RBIs against Centenary. Hunter Weitzel, Ryan Nace each had 3 hits apiece. Ryan Nace and Nick Turnage, 2 RBIs apiece. And then Aiden Jackson and Trevor Robbins led the pitching staff with 2 strikeouts each. Centenary started the game with a 9-run first inning, which essentially sealed the game, but the Mighty Max put up 8 runs to try to cut into that deficit. Immaculata Baseball finished the season 15-24 and 10-8 in Atlantic East Conference play. It was a 2-win improvement from last year and 3-win improvement in conference play. So guys, tough way to end for baseball. They had a lot of good highlights this year, and going 0-2 in the conference postseason, kind of a bummer, but a lot to look forward to. They have a lot of young talent. You're bringing back guys like Alex LePage on the mound, a lot of good hitters, and hopefully they can be competitive in the conference next year.
Yeah, that was a tough finish for baseball this year with the lost series to Centenary last week and then a rough tournament here. But, you know, they'll be back. They, as you said, there's a lot of guys that are still coming back. Alex LePage, who was arguably your number one pitcher this year and definitely helped was build the team up. But, yeah, it was definitely a tough end to the season, but they'll be back.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of difficult seeing those last couple weeks of the season. But there were some great moments again this season. They had a real strong run in conference play, winning several series in a row. And that huge comeback against Marywood is something we will always remember around here. And then obviously, you know, some other moments that were pretty good for them this year. So hopefully, you know, you'll be able to bring in some additional recruiting class players. And with the guys returning and the young players they have, it should be, you know, you'll see more improvement in the team next season. And with that, we'll take a chance to go back and look at some highlights for each of our teams on their seasons this year. And I'll begin looking at the fall. Field hockey had a dramatic come-from-behind win in overtime at Gwydon Mercy, where they clinched a playoff spot on the goal by Gigi Fox, the overtime winner, sent them on to the conference playoffs and semifinals. Men's soccer, you had the dramatic 0-0 or nil-nil, as you say in soccer, draw versus Marymount. Luca Greppolini was outstanding in goal that day. Women's soccer, you had the 1-0 win over Newman here, an AAC win at Faber-Wall Stadium. Lily McGee scored the lone goal of that game. Women's volleyball had a dramatic comeback win at Newman in the 5th set to win that match and clinch the playoff berth for the first time in a couple years, and got to the conference semifinals for the first time for them. So that was a huge moment for them. Men's and women's cross country teams in the fall ended up as runner ups in the AEC. So both teams finished 2nd overall. Hopefully that's something they'll be able to improve on going forward, but that was a big moment for their teams in our fall seasons.
Yeah, a lot of great stuff from our fall teams. And field hockey, they would end up making the postseason against Newman. So that clutch goal from Gigi Fox was great against Gwydon Mercy. Men's soccer, I mean, that Marymount game was filthy. You know, Luca Greppolini was superhuman that day, keeping that tied against Marymount. And I believe, if I remember correctly, we had heard from Marymount's coaching staff. Like, they complimented Luka's play. He took so many shots faced that game, and he just was on a mission. And it was just one of the highlights of the season. You know, women's soccer against Newman, again, another clutch win. Women's volleyball against Newman. And that really, we were watching that live on the live stream. That was at their place, but we were watching, and that was a great one to witness. And cross country, you know, runners up. I mean, obviously can't win them all, but you know, to have both teams be runners up, just truly remarkable, led by some great athletes on both teams.
Yeah, the fall was definitely a season to remember. I mean, I remember that day we were out doing a men's soccer and we were watching that field hockey come from behind win in the press box, and we saw Gigi had that was her first collegiate goal too, so that was a really good collegiate goal to have and for your first one and in a big moment too. And but yeah, Luka was filthy that game against Marymount, just dodging every ball that was coming his way. Women's volleyball, they won that Maxby Award for this game over Newman. I think it was the Play of the Year award. I mean, cross country definitely was a good showing this year for runners up in the conference on both teams. And it's going to be weird not running this year, but I'll be on the coaching side. So that's going to be an interesting new part that I'm going to have to adjust to, but I'm excited and looking forward to it.
Let's transition over to our winter sports highlights for each of our teams, starting with men's basketball. I think there's only one obvious answer, at least one that stands out, is the double overtime home opener against Moravian. That really was a strong start in Kyle Strmera's tenure here as the Mighty Max head coach. I mean, how else do you want to start with that kind of thrilling game? The Mighty Max would fall, but just a truly remarkable game. And it was pushing triple OT. And I know we were all dying at the table, but it was a great game overall. Women's basketball, pretty obvious on this one, winning back-to-back Atlantic East Conference championships, this time taking down Marywood, and they got their automatic bid to the NCAA tournament. Men's and women's swimming, each team placed fourth at the Atlantic East Conference Championships. That was in February. And men's and women's indoor track and field rewrote the record book plenty of times, with several athletes making top 10 marks. We saw indoor program records in weight throw for Colin Corkery and Maggie Friend. Aubrey Donahue has the 3K meter indoor time, and Joseph Pierre-Jacques with the indoor triple jump record. A lot of great stuff with indoor track and field. As we said, just rewriting the record book. But our winter sports, not too many winter sports, obviously, just because of the weather conditions, but they definitely did their roles. Women's basketball leading the way. And, you know, men's basketball looking to make a comeback next year. Swimming, they'll be looking to get back in the win column, and indoor track and field always doing their thing.
Yeah, that was a good season for our winter teams. Obviously, that game with the overtime, being on the broadcast call for that double overtime game, having those, you know, that big 3-pointer hit in that game to kind of force that game along. That was a lot of fun. Then, obviously, what else could you say about what the women's basketball team has been able to do here the last couple of years and to be a part, to be on the call for those games and be able to be on the call for the second straight year and my third consecutive year calling an Immaculata Championship game. Baseball, obviously, in 2024 down in Shenandoah, and then basketball the last 2 years. That's been a great honor for me to have that privilege to be a part of that and be able to make those calls. And, you know, just to see the team, you know, people doubted them and things like that, but they fought their way through every challenge that was thrown in front of them. You go through the conference schedule undefeated again, this time 14 games, and then take the two playoff games. You know, there were a lot of great moments. Obviously, swimming, to have both teams go down to place fourth at the Atlantic East Championships, that was a solid finish for both our teams. And I know he's got a lot of talent coming back and a lot of talent coming in on the swim teams next year. So they look to be even more competitive next year. And yeah, obviously, you know, you're seeing these great people in the track program. You know, obviously Aubrey Donahue has been at it for her third year. And then you see yeah, freshman Colin Corkery, but also Maggie Friendsman puts up good numbers. It's great to see them continue to push the envelope. And next year, indoor track's going to have an actual championship to compete for with the combination with the United East Conference for indoor track. So that's going to make that even more exciting in the wintertime for them to have something to actually compete for, in addition to just using those meets to prepare for the outdoor season in the spring.
Yeah, a lot of memorable moments from the winter season. I mean, that second overtime game against Raven, I mean, that was just insane being down there at the desk. I mean, the crowd was just off the walls that night. It was the whiteout game that I planned for when I was the SAC president, but it was definitely an exciting atmosphere to be in. And women's basketball, not much else you can say about them. Something special for these back-to-back championships. Swimming, good season for them. They're both small teams, but they both battled hard. And yeah, track and field just rewrote every meet they went to, rewriting the indoor. There was some kind of record, some kind of top 10 finish. I remember Jaden Barksdale in the first meet in Alvernia broke the 60-meter dash record, and he holds that program record now. So a lot of good moments from winter. Switching to the spring season now, where it was definitely our busiest time for a lot of great moments, starting off with baseball. We talked about earlier when we were talking about that comeback win over Marywood, Alex Chernowski's walk-off to help the Mighty Max score 6 runs in the bottom of the ninth. Softball had a come-from-behind win over Marymount on the final day of the season with Riley Martin's go-ahead 2-run home run in the bottom of the eighth inning. Men's lacrosse had an opening day win over St. Vincent at Draper Ross Stadium 7-6 behind a good performance by Jason Smarin. Women's lacrosse had a dominating win over Notre Dame in Maryland. You saw a lot of good moments in that. Morgan Barnes had her first collegiate goals in those games. Flag football, who could forget, giving Marymount their first ever Atlantic East Conference loss in program history in the season opener. That was something fun to see. Men's volleyball had the reverse sweep over Newman after being down 2 sets. Men's and women's outdoor track and field hosted the Atlantic East Conference championship and won multiple postseason awards. Abby Grillo, Rookie of the Year. And her season is actually not done yet because on Monday night this week, she is competing in a last chance qualifier meet to qualify for nationals. I believe if she runs a sub 210, they're going to be taking a trip to Wisconsin come Memorial Day weekend. So that's exciting, and we'll keep everyone up to date on that. And men's and women's tennis, both teams beat Newman to clinch a playoff spot. And that was always something good to see. So the spring was definitely the most busy time for us, but it was definitely brought a lot of good moments too.
Yeah, the spring was definitely a crazy time. It always is in sports information. It doesn't matter what department or what school. It's always a crazy time with all the games and stuff. Baseball, just going down the list here. Baseball, I was there for that Marywood game. That was just insanity, seeing that walk-off bases clearing, series clinching triple by Alex Chernowski was one of the wilder moments that I've seen in my career. For softball, that Marymount win, Riley Martin with the go-ahead shot to center field. We talked about that in recent episodes, and I was just walking to the field to see what was going on, and I just happened to be walking as the ball went over the fence. I'm like, oh, that's nice. And I didn't know that, that was the context of that one. So that was great to see. Men's lacrosse, they did really well this season, and that St. Vincent game was definitely part of that. Women's lacrosse, Notre Dame, Maryland, that was pretty much over in the first quarter, and 21-2 was the score for that. Flag football, seeing Marymount get their first conference loss ever, what an accomplishment, especially with Bill taking over as the head coach this season. New coach and automatically giving Marymount a loss was really impressive. Men's volleyball, that reverse sweep was really cool to see on home court. And you thought down 2-0, and you're like, I don't know. And they really slowly climbed their way back in. And in the fifth set, they had all the momentum. And then for tennis, tough seasons for them, but they did beat Newman. They did clinch a playoff spot. Both fell to the eventual champions. But hey, small steps. They beat Newman. They got the playoff spot. They have a bright future. And then outdoor track and field, hosting the conference championships this year was awesome. And a lot of postseason awards that we posted on the social media pages. And a couple of the years with Colin Corkery and Abby Grillo, despite them being just freshmen, they're already making a big impact on our program as well as all of our other track and field athletes.
Yeah, that was spring season had was crazy at times, but there were some great memories. Connor and I being over at softball when that comeback against Marywood happened, and seeing it through the fence, and Connor's like, "Should I go grab you?" I'm like, "Go, go, go, go!" And he got running there, but I got that interview real quick with Mr. Tronoski, I believe that was after that hit. Softball, I mean, what a moment that was in her final at bat in college softball. Riley Martin going up there to pinch hit, knowing that I personally had the feeling that could happen, and she hit the first pitch over the center field fence. To see the excitement in her, the team, see her family, her parents, everything, being there for that moment. That's one of those memories, particularly, like I said, I have a lot of good feelings about this senior class this year because these were the people I started with. So, it's great to see that. Men's lacrosse, that opening day game, wondering if we were ever going to get that game in with the weather and everything like that. Snow piles around the field, and you go in there, and they get that goal in the dying seconds to win that game, following a big save by Matt Ludlow. Obviously Matt Ludlow being the all-time saves leader in program history, and you have third in the nation in save percentage and 12th in NCAA history in saves. Women's lacrosse, that dominating win. You beat Notre Dame, Maryland that day. To see the different players get involved in scoring that game was great. Obviously you had Riley Mullen coming up in the back end, scoring a pair of goals that day. And then you had Abigail Guarnieri gets a win that day, and she finishes the second all-time in program history with 492 saves. Congratulations to her on that great, moment number in her career. Flag football, I mean, beating Marymount that day after seeing how the games had gone against them in the last couple of years, to have that team start off the season that way and get such a big win, you knew something good was going to happen with that season. And to finish the way they did, third in the conference and everything, like go to the semifinals was outstanding. A home playoff win, great. They had men's volleyball in conference play for the first time in my time here. Was something special, and to see them, that reverse sweep, have them clinch a playoff spot right after that, make an appearance in the United East Conference playoffs as their first year as a member. Obviously, the track and field championships were something special to have here. A lot of work goes into it, and a lot of people did some amazing things. Our athletes performed. There were some really special moments in that too, and having them win awards, it's a great sign for our track and field programs going forward. And then, men's and women's tennis, well, it might not have been the easiest of season, but there were some great performances from several players. And, to see them, fight their way through that match, get the win against Newman to advance to the conference tournament again this year for both teams. And, got to the semifinals. They lost, but there was, a great step forward for the tennis programs as well. So it was a good spring season, and we look forward to when the next year has come around, seeing what's in store for our teams. It should be something special. I think now would be a good time to bring in our guest, Colin Civarelli, our student broadcaster. So we'll be back after this quick break. And welcome back to the Tuesday Talk IU Athletic Podcast. We are joined by our final guest of the season, Immaculata Athletics student broadcaster Colin Civarelli. Welcome to the show, Colin.
Thank you, Andy. Thank you guys for having me on.
First, how did you get started doing play-by-play broadcasting, and has it always been your dream to step into this field?
Yeah, so I actually didn't start doing any sort of play-by-play till I got here to Immaculata. I expressed interest in doing some football games back in my high school, but I didn't really have time to. But when I got here to IU, I wanted to let myself settle in the first semester, focus on my schoolwork, work on finding a routine for myself. And then once the second semester started, I wanted to make sure I got involved in doing the play-by-play. And to answer the second part of your question, it has always been a dream of mine to at least get involved in some kind of sports media. I've always loved watching sports, even growing up as a little kid. I would stand in front of the TV and just like have my eyes glued to the screen. So I've always had an interest in it, and it's been wonderful to start to get involved in it this year.
Who would you say is your favorite commentator when you watch games on TV, or maybe if you're listening to a radio broadcast, and why? For example, maybe you model your call style after them. Maybe they're very knowledgeable about the event they're covering, something like that.
Yeah, that's a great question, Larry. A lot of people, they usually ask me this, and it's always so hard to pick. I mean, there's so many good broadcasters that I model myself after. I mean, the Phillies play-by-play announcer, Tom McCarthy, comes to mind. The Phillies have always been my favorite team since I was a kid, so I've always loved listening to him. But if I had to pick one, I would say Jim Nantz, the lead play-by-play on CBS. He's broadcasted golf for many years. He did basketball till as recent as a couple of years ago. He's done football as well. And I'd say he's my favorite just because he just provides that like soothing voice in the booth. And he's provided some great calls as well throughout his career. So I would say if I had to pick one, I'd model myself after him the closest.
So picking up on that, what would you say is your favorite call you ever heard, either in like a live clip or something you might have seen online? There's definitely a lot of calls in basketball and baseball, which you were just talking about. So what's like your favorite all-time call you've ever heard from an announcer?
I mean, this is another question I get a lot, Connor. I mean, I'll give you two answers. One answer I didn't hear it in person, but obviously heard it online. Harry Callis's call when the Phillies won the World Series back in 2008. That last call when Brad Lidge gets the last strikeout, it gives me goosebumps every time I listen to that. And in person, gosh, I mean, I would say when Bryce Harper hit that home run in the 2022 NLCS Game 5, that was Joe Davis who had that call, called it the swing of his life. That was my favorite in-person call to hear. And it always amazes me how these announcers can just come up with the perfect thing to say in like the heat of the moment like that. That's something I think about pretty often. So I just think it's so cool.
When you joined us earlier in the year and you had a particular interest in calling basketball and baseball games, how do you prepare for a broadcast in each sport? Are they drastically different approaches, relatively the same?
Yeah, I mean, the sports, they're so different, right? I mean, calling basketball versus baseball. I mean, basketball, it's much more fast-paced. The action is happening at a much quicker rate. So I would say basketball is a little harder to prepare for because if you take your eyes off the action for like 5 seconds, you're going to miss so much, right? So I would say during that like preparation time, I spend a lot of time looking at the rosters ahead of time, making sure that I'm familiar with the names. Of course, before I started calling basketball and baseball, I really spent a lot of effort in getting to know Immaculata's roster so that I was familiar with all of our own players. And then in terms of the opponents we would face in different games, I would just look at the rosters an hour or two before each game, write down a bunch of names. But with baseball specifically, I would actually draw the baseball diamond. I would draw the field like in my notebook, write down all the names of the starters, and then throughout, because with baseball there's so many substitutions that are made, and with each substitution I would cross out the name and write the name of the player that would get subbed in. So that would really just help me keep track of, okay, who's on the field at what time, where, what position are they at, things like that, just so I wouldn't lose track while I would be up in the booth.
What are your future goals with play-by-play broadcasting?
Yeah, it's a great question, Andy. I definitely plan on continuing the play-by-play here at Immaculata. I love getting involved with it this, past semester. And then beyond that, I definitely want to enter sports media in some capacity. I mean, play-by-play, it's a very hard field to get into. So I recognize that it might be hard to get into that specifically, but if I can just find some sort of job opportunity in sports media in general, I would consider that to be a success.
Well, Colin, I definitely have to say I enjoyed, having you join me on the basketball broadcast this year. I've been doing the games for the first couple of years by myself, and it was great to have that second person in there with me. Really brought the broadcast to like a new level this year, particularly, those games down the stretch going into the playoffs and the women's run to the second championship, and having you with me on the championship game that day was just outstanding. And then, you did a great job with baseball this spring. That's not easy sometimes taking over. And you had some games that were a challenge, with the long games and things like that. Some crazy comebacks. You got to be there for that Mary Wood comeback. And then obviously, the last games with Centenary and everything like that. So I think you did a great job, and we look forward to, having you back with us again next year with the games, and maybe we could expand on your roles going forward. And we appreciate you coming on and talking with us today. Since the semester has ended, you have gone back home for the year, so we appreciate you jumping on with us.
Yes, thank you, Andy. Thank you guys again for having me on. And thank you for giving me the opportunity this year to join you guys on the broadcast. It was a real pleasure. It was such a fun time. Like you said, getting to be a part of that championship run for basketball, that was really special. And getting that experience with baseball as well was really fun in the spring. So it was a great semester, and I'm looking forward to continuing to keep this going in the future.
And we'll be back after this quick break on the Tuesday Talk IU Athletics Podcast. And welcome back to the Tuesday Talk IU Athletics Podcast. Well, that will kind of wrap up things here for the season at the Tuesday Talk podcast. As we go on a summer hiatus, unless, something major kind of happens over the summer that would prompt a quick episode, the podcast should return sometime in kind of early September, maybe the end of August, as the seasons are starting to build for our teams. We'd like to thank all of our listeners and our 37 guests we've had this season for making the first season a success. If you want to be a future guest or have any comments or suggestions, please let us know.
This was really fun to do. I look forward to doing it again next year. We're gonna have to find a new title for me other than student assistant, because I'm not technically gonna be a student anymore, but we'll work on that. This has been a lot of fun. I look forward to doing all this again next year, since I am coming back for grad school and assisting cross country and still working with all you guys. So it's gonna be fun next season.
Yeah, this has been a great opportunity, and I thank Andy for bringing me on for this. And what started out as a little idea when I first joined Immaculata, it's turned into this big accomplishment. So it's been a great, fulfilling thing to do. Definitely keeps us busy on Mondays and Tuesdays, but definitely has been an awesome ride updating you guys about all the wins and losses and awards and everything that goes on in Mighty Max Athletics has been, really amazing, and we'll look forward to doing that back in September once the season gets underway. But for now, summer hiatus it is, and it's been fun.
Yeah, and I'd like to really express my thanks and gratitude to Colin for coming on with us today and helping me in the broadcast. But then to have you guys and our other guests, but to have Connor, do the work he's done helping us line up many of our guests. Those guests don't get here if we don't have his help sometimes with getting that stuff coordinated. So that's been huge. And obviously, Larry, your work behind the scenes this year with this really helped a lot to help me get this idea I had from exploring around what other schools were doing and things I wanted to bring here to Immaculata, and have someone with experience with it to be able to step in and say, okay, we could do this, we can do this. And then your lead in doing most of the behind all the behind the scenes editing and everything like that has been huge to this project, and I really appreciate that. And something I've looked forward to doing each week. The shows were, always fun to do and to bring, bring the stories of our athletes and Immaculata out to the public more in a different format than just writing articles or posting graphics on a social media page. So I've enjoyed being able to help bring this and to play a part in it, and something I look forward to us being able to continue going forward. It's the time for the summer, hiatus break, and it'll be good for everyone. But we look forward to, and we hope if you any people have ideas or people that other students out there that want to get involved with us with this, please reach out. We are glad to welcome ideas, and anybody that wants to be involved with us with this, if there's a way or a role we could help have you help us with, it would be great. So once again, it's been a great season. I thank everyone for tuning in, all our guests and the athletics department and the administration here at the school that gave us the green light to do this project. And I look forward to seeing you again in the fall when we're back. Roll Max.